Hey guys, this is Pastor Zach, and you are listening to Sermon Notes here at HPC.
Before I begin, we're going to pray a little prayer together. All right, we're going to pray this prayer, and I'm going to be looking around while we're praying this prayer. If you do not pray this prayer, we're going to stop, and then we're all going to pray this prayer together, okay? So if I'm just going to keep my eyes out. I want to see your mouth moving, saying the words. If I see you and you're not praying, we're going to have to start over again. All right, everybody got that? Everybody got that? All right, so we're going to pray this prayer out loud together. Heavenly Father. Tara, I didn't see you praying. All right, so we got to start over again. Tara's going to take her seat. MJ, he has to make sure he prays this prayer, okay? Heavenly Father, give me eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, praise God. So I'm going to be preaching out of the New Living Translation this morning, but I will be referencing the NASB, so don't worry. All right, I'm going to cover all of our bases. Praise the Lord. So if you want to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Has anyone ever heard the saying, while you're turning there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, has anyone ever heard the saying, or maybe you have said this yourself, I'm a new creation in Christ. Anyone ever said that? I'm a new creation. Anyone ever heard that phrase before? It's a really Christian-y kind of phrase. It's biblical, okay? But we love to say it. We love to say this phrase. But what does that really mean, to be a new creation? What does that actually mean? And so today what we're going to do is we're going to kind of like unpack that really quick. And I'm going to try to go as fast as I can because I have a word that I also, like a prophetic word that we're going to release, right, before we end this message. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, are we doing this thing now where everybody stands? Yeah, all right, yeah, we'll do that. Pastor Zach loves that. Maybe I'll get a bonus in my check this week. I'm just kidding. Ashley likes it because Ashley likes it. All right, well, so we're going to start in verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 14 in the New Living, it says, either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. Verse 17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. Here, you guys can take a seat. Praise God. In the NASB right there, that verse 17, it says it like this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. So let's kind of go through this real quick. We're going to look. Let's go back just to verses 14 and 15. And we're gonna read through this. Verse 14. Again, this is the New Living. Either way, all right, so now this, I really would have loved to have gone back to the beginning of this chapter, because if you actually read it in the NASB, every paragraph begins with a therefore, da la 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 la, therefore, and this and that, and therefore, because the chapter like builds and builds and builds and builds upon itself. But for the sake of time, we can't do that. So let's go back to 14 there, right? So it says, either way, Christ's love controls us. That's a weird way of saying that. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. See, if you're writing things down and taking notes, I got some points for you. And this first point here is, Jesus Christ died on the cross for two reasons. One was out of obedience to the Father, and number two is because of his love for you. He died out of obedience and his love for you. See, Christ's salvation for you doesn't save you just from going to hell, but it actually ushers in a new way of living. See, what's interesting in the language there, as Paul writes this letter, he says, Christ's love controls us. Because what he's referring to is in the verses prior to this, they're talking about how they minister. And sometimes they say stuff that seems like a little crazy to just the average person. But the reason why they act this way and talk this way is because the love that they experienced in their salvation is so powerful, it actually compels them to the point as if it's controlling them to say what they're saying and to act the way they're acting. Christ's love controls us. But it's not just that, it's that there's a new life that they're experiencing because of this work of the Spirit in their lives. But what's so interesting is that when you read through the language as it keeps going, he says that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. In Matthew 16, verses 24 through 26, it says, and Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. In the NASB, it says, deny himself. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, in the NASB, it says, anyone who loves his life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. See, you got to remember a really important principle about the kingdom of God. It's upside down to our normal way of thinking. It's upside down to the world's way of evaluating life and what is good and what is right. In the kingdom, it's flipped upside down so that giving up your life, pouring yourself out, dying to yourself, emptying out yourself is actually being filled. But the world tells you that you must fill yourself in order to be satisfied with everything that's around you. And so Paul is setting the stage here for what is a mandate on you as a believer. That if anyone wants to live for Christ, he must actually die. And then it goes on into verse 16. Therefore, this is NASB, therefore, we don't see Jesus just as human, but as resurrected or glorified. It says we no longer can look at each other as just mere human. If that person's really a believer, you can't see them in that way anymore, because even Jesus himself, we saw him as this man, but really now we see him differently. Why? Because he's been resurrected. He's been glorified. So we can't just see him as a man anymore. We see him in the fullness of who he is. But Paul's drawing the distinction here between Jesus glorified and you as a believer. We can't look at each other like, oh, that's just so-and-so. Yeah, that's just what they do. They just talk like that. No, Paul's saying we have to stop doing that. Stop looking at each other as just people, and we have to see the kingdom inside of each one of us because Jesus is in us. So let's go to verse 17. This is the part here that we really like are digging into. See, I was just trying to get there in these other verses. In the verse 17, again, New Living Translation, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. Again, in the NASB. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. And so what does this mean? This means that the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the moment the revelation of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you becomes a reality, you are no longer the same. And you're not the same person, right? You guys all believe this? Is this anything new to any of you? All right, no. Okay, maybe it is. But listen, this is the word of the Lord. You are not the same person. You are not the same. If you accept Jesus Christ, the Bible says you are new. Okay. So now let's dig into this. If you're writing things down, number two, stop trying to hold on to your dead self and receive your new identity in Christ. So when you're saved, the Bible says that when you are saved, your spirit is saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? As everyone knows, we teach this all the time. If you've been in any of our studies, if you've been in School of the Spirit, this is something we teach all the time, right? So God made you in his image, and we were created three in one, right? So we are body, soul, and spirit. And so body, soul, and spirit. Jonathan, you want to throw that up? Body, soul, and spirit. Is there any way to put that up there? All right. See this? Body, soul, and spirit. So your body is just your body. Like your body. This is the vehicle in which the kingdom comes through. This is your body, right? Your soul, you can see on the left side there, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And this is the place where every time we talk about Christians are demonized or oppressed demonically, this is where that happens, right? This is where we give up footholds. This is where strongholds are built. This is also the part of us that is being transformed, right? So see, your spirit, when we accepted Jesus and called him Lord of our life and repented of our sin, we are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit and going to heaven. Your spirit, like your core, your spirit man, who you are on the inside is your purpose and your identity. This is who God created you to be. And when you were saved, that was saved. Going to heaven, congratulations. You're going to heaven. You're in the palm of God's hand, and no one and nothing can pluck you out of God's hand, right? But our soul, see the gray area, our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions, this is the part of us that once we are saved enters into a process of sanctification. Our spirit is saved. And then our soul starts becoming saved. Our mind, our will, and our emotions. And what happens is that when we start to engage in this with the Lord, he begins to do a work in us. Where like the way we felt about things before we met Jesus start to actually like change. We start to like, the things that makes God angry starts to make us angry. The things that break his heart starts to break his heart. The stuff that brings joy to the Father starts to bring us joy. And even our mind, right? So I've got scriptures here for days, but I'm gonna try to move through this quick because worship was awesome. And so in Romans 12, it says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect. 2 Corinthians 3 says that before we were saved, when we hear the word of God, it's as if our mind or our soul has a veil over it. And we can't really understand the revelation of the truth of God's word. But in verses 16 through 18, it says, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us have had the veil removed. We can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. See, this is a process of being sanctified, a process of our soul being saved. It's in the language that we are being made more and more like Jesus. Again, we're going to heaven. Our spirit is saved. But even our own will, our soul, right? Our mind, our will, and our emotions. Pastor Zach just preached on free will a few weeks back. Your free will is what allows you to make the decision to sin. But it's your free will that chooses to give up your free will for the Father's. See, because you can't will yourself into righteousness. We freely, with our own will, choose to surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit in combination with the atoning blood of Jesus Christ that makes you holy, that makes you righteous. The renewing of our minds, right? Ephesians 5 says, daily be washed in the water of the word. I think we need a revival of paper Bibles. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, no offense to all you tech. Listen, I love technology. I cannot stand reading my Bible on my phone. There's like something about it. It's like, oh, like, it's like the anointing. You know what I mean? It's like I have notes and I highlight stuff and God speaks to me and I write it down. And you want to know what? When I'm reading this, I don't get a notification. When I'm reading this, it doesn't ring. Where's Chris Gilbert? Where's Chris? His t-shirt. Jesus on the main line. Listen, he's calling through this. He's not actually calling through my cell phone. But when my phone is away and I pick this up and start reading, it's like here. And I'm like, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Then I'm on my phone and I start reading on my phone and I'm like scrolling through and all of a sudden I'm like, oh shoot, I didn't respond to that email. And I can quickly just flip over to my email. And then I'm like over on Angry Birds. And then I'm over like, you know, listen, on Tuesday night, I walked in here for prayer Tuesday night, sat down, pulled my phone out and deleted Facebook and Instagram. I'm like, I'm so done, right? I can't anymore. I can't. I just got another bonus on my paycheck. Ephesians 5. You know what's so cool about that Ephesians 5:16 verse about being washed in the word? It's literally in the context of husbands and wives and Christ being the head of the church. And for men to be who God has called them to be, one of the ways you have to do that is by your mind being renewed by the washing of the word. It doesn't say, make sure you go to the men's conference and make sure you go to the Saturday prayer group and make sure you go to the Tuesday night men's study. It doesn't say that. It says, men, in order for you to be the head of your household, wash yourself in the word. Like a shower. Literally, take a shower in this thing. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13, the word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword, cuts between joint and marrow, between soul and spirit, right here. Last week, we had an altar call. Pastor Zach was talking about roadblocks. I'm telling you, this is not like gimmicky anything. About 50% of the people I talk to that tell me they think they need deliverance and inner healing, this is what they say. And they do this subconsciously, not even thinking about it. They go, you know, I just feel like I have a block. They do that motion, a block. I think I have a block. I'm trying to read my word. I'm trying to pray. I'm trying to worship. But it's like there's a block. You want to know what's so interesting about the block right here? Is that your soul is from here to here and your spirit is from here to here. Isn't that interesting? That this place where there is a block is where your soul and your spirit meet. And you know what that verse, 1 Corinthians 4:12, says? The word cuts between soul and spirit, and it actually separates them. This isn't witchcraft. This is the word. It separates your soul and spirit. Why is that important? Because we think that if we feel something, it must be what God is doing. And so what happens is that we're so carnal and so fleshly in nature, and we're so consumed with feeling good that we actually start to lose the discernment of what I feel and what the Spirit is doing. about what I'm thinking and what the Lord is thinking, what I'm telling me in my own head and what the Spirit of God is speaking to me in my spirit. And because there's no separation between the two, because we're not in the Word, we actually can't discern it. And so what happens is all the crap in our soul filters down and forms a block. It's like the silt, the dirt from just walking in the world. It's the all the dead nature part of us that the Holy Spirit is trying to kill. It all starts to like settle at the bottom of our soul. And then all of a sudden it's like, man, I can't hear God the way I used to. I can't hear him the way I want to. And after a while, it's like, man, I feel like my spirit is heavy. Yeah, because the weight of all the junk in your soul is actually weighing down on your spirit, man. With the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. Freedom. So we have to daily be washed in the Word, right? Because this is what is renewing our mind. The Word washing over our mind begins to remove the veil. That's what that other verse said. In 2 Corinthians 3, that when you experience the fullness of the Spirit of God, it actually removes a veil from your mind so that you can actually begin to perceive what the Word of God is saying. And when he cuts between that soul and spirit, that joint and marrow, like all the way down. You know where your joint and your marrow come together? Like in you? Like inside the bones of your body, where the marrow is, that's where your like blood cells are formed. That's actually like where your DNA is recreated. So what that word is saying right there is that the Lord is saying, when you allow my word to wash over you and cut you deep, I cut you right all the way down to your DNA, and I begin to change you to look more like Jesus. This is what it means to be a new creation. This is what it means to be a new creation. Now, let's rewind a few minutes back and let's go back to that Romans 12 passage for a minute. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. NASB, you got me. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That word conformed literally means do not let the world influence the way that you are living. Don't let anybody else influence you. Don't fit into the molds that they want you to fit in. But be transformed. That word transformed is the Greek word metamorpho, which is where we get the word metamorphosis. It literally means to change into another form, to transform or to transfigure. When Jesus is standing on the mountain of transfiguration and Peter, James, and John see him and they say that he is transfigured, he's glorified, it's literally the same word. That when you allow the Lord to bring that transformation, you are like Jesus standing on the Mount of Transfiguration. Listen, half of you in this room don't even believe that that's for you. And I'm telling you, this is the Word of God. I don't need to convince you. I'm just preaching the Word. When you allow the Holy Spirit to do this work, again, our will. You can't will yourself to do this. You will yourself to surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit, and he does it for you. There is no striving. There is no striving. That was a good word this morning. That was a good word, Pastor Zach. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. My guys, can you go grab that? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word renewing, okay? Anakinosis means the renewal or the renovation, complete change for the better. A renovation, right? When you're building a house, if you're putting an addition on, you're adding on space, right? But when you're doing a renovation, you guys can bring it up. When you're doing a renovation, you gut the room and do it over again. That's literally the word that's being used here. It's great. Thank you. And so this word, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Allow the Holy Spirit to renovate the rooms in your home. That's what it's saying. But some of us, this is what our rooms look like. Do not enter. Private property, caution. We've got multiple locks on here. Why? Listen, because this is a real thing. We're talking about you are a new creation. You are a new creation. When you are saved, there is a life that you do not want to go back to, right? You say, I am not that person anymore. I am not that person. I'm not going back there anymore. But sometimes for some of us, the stuff in our old life was really, really painful. That is not me anymore. So what do? We say, I am not going back there. So we lock the door. We put extra locks on it. Maybe we take the caulking gun out and we caulk all the seams all the way around, right? No one in, no one out. That is not me. That is partially true. That is not you anymore. But here's the thing. Whether you got saved 6 days ago, 6 weeks ago, 6 months ago, 6 years ago, 16 years ago, 60 years ago. Right, Dad? 60 years ago. I don't even think, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Yeah, okay. All right, you didn't nod. I said your name and you didn't even nod. Okay, just good. Sorry. He's hard of hearing. So, whenever it was that you got saved, God saved you in that moment, but he didn't save you from then on. Listen to me. Is God not a God that raises the dead? Is God not a God that redeems all things? Is he not the one that says, I take every single thing that the enemy meant for evil and I actually make it for your good? So your testimony is, I got saved from some stuff, right? That's your testimony. I was living this way and I was doing this thing and I was going to the club, right? With a bottle full of Bud, mama, got what I need if you need to feel the buzz, right? We're doing all this and we're living this way. We're living this way and all of a sudden someone invites us to church on a Sunday morning and we walk in and they've been telling us about Jesus for years. And we walk in and we sit here and all these weird people are raising their hands and all this stuff and there's like all these things going on and it's like, man, it's just these people are weird, but something feels right when I'm here. I feel like I belong here. And the Holy Spirit is just drawing you and pulling you, pulling. And then finally one day you say, you know what? I think this Jesus thing is for me and I wanna live my life for him. And from that moment on, saved. Sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, going to heaven. But we have these rooms that we don't want anybody to see. But the Holy Spirit's going, hey, be transformed by the renovating of the rooms of your mind. The rooms in your heart that I want to renovate, but we want to keep people out. And the Holy Spirit's going, hey, like I want to heal you. Why? Why does the Holy Spirit do this? Because point number three, when you come into relationship with Jesus Christ and declare him Lord of your life, you are now born again of the Spirit. But God's plan of salvation is to save, redeem, and restore all of you. God doesn't save a part of you. God doesn't save 6 years of your life. God doesn't save, how about the man on the cross? God didn't save just the last breath of his life. The moment he recognized that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus said, I will see you in paradise. And his whole life is redeemed in that moment. Through the blood of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Father wants to make you whole. He wants to make you whole. And it's uncomfortable because he wants you to take the lock off the door. And he says, I want to come into that room. I'm going to gut the thing. And I'm going to begin some renovations. And I'm going to pull out my blood-stained paint roller. And I'm going to start to paint the walls in that room red with the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to set you free and make you whole in Jesus' name. That's the work of salvation. That is becoming a new creation, a new creature. You're not the same anymore. You're not the same. But the Lord wants to heal those things. We believe and pray to and worship a God that raises dead things back to life. But the problem is that we hear stories about the army in the valley that Ezekiel is supposed to prophesy new life over. And we're like, yeah, prophesy new life. Prophesy new life. Meanwhile, you have all these army, this army inside of you with a weapon of warfare, which is your testimony. And those dry bones are laying on the ground in the room behind a closed door. And the Holy Spirit says, I want you to prophesy over those dry bones in your life, over the dead man in your life. Come back to life in Jesus' name, because you have a world that needs saving. Why is this? Why is this what he's doing? Let's keep going. Verses 18 and 19. We haven't even read this yet. Verse 18. It says, and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are God's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. In the NASB, it says, now all of this, right? Or is that what it said here? Now all of this. Jesus reconciled the world, and he has given you the ministry of reconciliation. In Webster's 1828 dictionary, reconciliation is defined like this: to reconcile friendships, to reconcile friendship with God, agreement of things seemingly opposite, different, or inconsistent. The agreement of things that are different. The agreement of things that are opposite or inconsistent. What's the agreement? The agreement is, I'm dead in my sin, and Jesus is offering me new life in him. Reconciliation is you take those two things and you bring them together, and death must come into agreement with life. Darkness must come into agreement with light, because where there is light, there cannot be darkness. In the Strong's, that word, reconciliation, katalogy, it says the exchange or adjustment, restoration to divine favor, atonement, right? When you reconcile your checkbook, right? Something doesn't align. I wrote all these checks. This is the number, but my number right now is different. So we have to do, we have to reconcile the difference. Where else was that money spent? What else was paid for? Well, in the spirit, your death in sin cannot be reconciled to what you owe. Therefore, Jesus Christ paid the price so that you then could be reconciled and brought back into agreement with the Father. Your debt has been paid in full. The band can come up. I'm going to end with this word. Does that make sense to you guys? Here's the problem. Here's the problem. You heard it, and now you have to be accountable to it. You heard the word, now you have to be accountable to it. are you allowing the Holy Spirit to show you the places in you that need healing, the places in you that need wholeness? So there was a long time I would go around and I would tell people my story about what God had done in me. Because I had these moments. I had a big moment like this back in August of 2003. I had an epic encounter with the Lord. I'm not gonna get into that one. God spoke to me so clear. I can tell you the tone of his voice, how he said each word and everything, and it changed my life. But since then, I would tell my story about what God did for me, not just in that moment, but for the few years that I spent living in Pensacola, Florida, in what was the backside of the Brownsville Revival. And I used to talk to people about it, and they would say, man, every time someone talks about revival, you get all riled up. Like, what's your deal? And I would tell them, like, listen, yeah, you start talking about revival, or if I'm in a prayer meeting and the atmosphere starts to shift, or I'm in worship and you're feeling it in the atmosphere, and I'm not kidding you, it's like the cells in my body start to do this. They're like, whoo, right? I feel that on the inside. I'm just telling you, I literally feel it on the inside. Everything inside of me starts to shake. And this is what I would tell people. I propose to you, even though I cannot scientifically prove this, I propose to you that if you looked at my DNA under a microscope, you would see fire on it, right? And I would tell people this, right? So one day, this is about in the fall of 2019, we had been in this place for about 6 months, and God was doing some stuff. And I just was walking through the foyer, looked a lot different over there. I was walking through the foyer one day, and I said, oh man, you know what? I need to make a t-shirt to wear that tells people this story. So I designed this t-shirt. It's not for sale today. Maybe I'll work with Kate LeBeau and we'll design a better one. But if you could put that t-shirt up there. So I designed this t-shirt, all right? And so it's that blue double helix DNA strand, right? And see all the little red flames? That's fire all over it. All right, so I'm like staring at this design. I'm on Custom Ink. This is no plug for them. This is literally the screenshot from my shopping cart on Custom Ink, okay? This is the screenshot. That's the DNA strand with the fire on it. And I'm staring at it. And I said, if somebody just looks at my shirt, how can I tell them? How can I explain to them what this means? And I'm just sitting there and I'm staring at it and it comes to me, oh, genetically modified DNA. Like, what's with that DNA strand? Is that fire all over it? Yeah, God has changed me because of what I experienced. Genetically modified DNA. So I designed this shirt. I don't buy it right away. I leave it in my shopping cart and I kind of go out about my business. Well, about a week later, I'm here working and our offices were over there and I'm like, man, I'm starving. And this is back when DoorDash wasn't too expensive. You only paid a small little fee. Now it's like outrageous. You pay three times the price. But I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna order some food. So I order DoorDash and I get the text on my phone. DoorDash is here. I'm like, yes. So I run out to the foyer and this woman comes in the door carrying the bag with my food in it. And she hands me the bag and she has a big smile on her face. And I'm like, hey, how you doing? Is everything all right? She goes, yeah, I love what's happening here. I said, okay. She goes, no, like I really love what's happening here. I go to a church nearby, but I'm just so excited at what God is doing in this space. And I'm like, okay, cool. I said, hey, listen, if you ever wanna talk or you want a tour, just come and see us. I'm like, we're here all day. Just pop in and I'll give you a tour. So I go back to my office, I eat my food, I'm working, and then for some reason, I don't know why, I got back up, I started walking back out to the foyer again, and there's another DoorDash guy walking in the front door. And Pastor Holly and her team, and Diana Korsakoff and a few of them, they're over in the front and they're working, and this DoorDash guy comes in with his stuff, and I'm like, oh, another DoorDash guy. And here comes this girl again with her DoorDash bag. She goes walking back in. I'm like, man, everyone's hungry around here today. You know, another DoorDash order. I'm like, what the heck? So I'm like, oh, are you back for another order? She goes, no, I just went to Cumberland Farms, and I brought some iced coffees for you guys. And I was like, oh, that's so sweet of you. She goes, yeah, and as I was pulling out of the parking lot, the Lord told me that I need to sow a seed into what's happening here. And she pulls all of her money out that she made that day from DoorDash and just drops it in the giving container. And I said, well, would you like a tour? She goes, I would love one. So we start in the foyer, and I'm showing her at the time. There was all our mission stuff. And she's like, oh, my gosh. She starts crying. And I'm like, you all right? She's like, yeah, I'm just really overwhelmed right now. And then we go around the corner, and she starts telling me prophetic words that I just heard in a prayer meeting with pastors in Providence the day before. And I'm like, oh, my God, Lord, I just was just praying this prophetic word out. And she's reiterating to me, but she wasn't in that meeting. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm listening. What is it that you have to say? So we walk around the outside and we go through at the time what's the Bags of Hope area. And I'm explaining what Bags of Hope is and kids in foster care. And she's just crying. And she reiterates another prophetic word that we had just prayed out in a prayer meeting here at our church like a week prior. And I'm like, Lord, I'm listening to you, right? So we walk all the way around and we get about to here, if you imagine through this wall onto the other side, it's the gate that goes into the mall. And we're walking by the gate, and the gate was closed, and she's staring out the gate, and she's walking really slowly, and she stops, and she said, you know, 4 years ago, my church was looking for a space, and I was just walking in the mall praying for the Lord to provide a space for our church. And when I was walking by the Macy's, I stopped, I looked at the Macy's sign, and I pointed and said, one day that's going to be a church. And I was like, okay, all right, wait. So then, Lori, you want to follow me? I'm going to show you something. So this is what happens. We start walking around. Lori, you got me? You got me on that screen? All right. Put the camera on Lori. So we're going around. And so we're walking around the church over here. And we come over to this spot. And this spot just so happens to be where my office is. This spot happens to be where my office is. And I'm standing right here. Now, Lori's on the camera. Lori, you're me. So I need you to stand right here. Come a little bit closer. All right. Am I good? Is that good right there? All right. So Lori's me. I'm this woman. Okay. And she's talking to me. And then Pastor Kurt comes. Pastor Kurt. I need Pastor Kurt to come out. He's my witness. So Pastor Kurt comes walking out of Pastor Zach and Ashley's office. He wasn't even on staff yet. Pastor Kurt, you all here? Run, run. So Pastor Kurt comes, and so Pastor Kurt is standing here as my witness. And right here in the spot, I'm standing where you are, and I'm her. Her name's Vicky, and Pastor Kurt. And Vicky says this, I have a word for you. And I was like, okay. And so she has this bag of like tricks, right? So she gets down on her knees and she's going through her bag and she's fumbling around and she's like Mary Poppins. She's pulling all this stuff out of her bag, right? And then she pulls the cell phone out. She goes, oh no, wrong cell phone. Puts it back in her bag and she keeps pulling. And then she pulls the cell phone out and she says, you know, every night I pray sometimes for hours in the spirit and the Lord sometimes gives me prophetic words. And last night he gave me a word that's for you. I said, okay. So what's the word? She goes, help, let me find it. So she starts scrolling through her phone and she's hitting play on this voice memo. And she's like, oh no, that's not it. And she fast forward. Oh no, that's not it. That's not it. And I start getting impatient. I said, will you just give me the word? You know what the word is. And she puts her cell phone down, stands up, points to the sanctuary and says, in that place, in worship, the Lord is genetically modifying DNA. I want everybody to stand up. Everybody stand up. I'm telling you right now, this is a word of the Lord for our church, that the Lord is genetically modifying your DNA. If you would just allow yourself to be transformed by the word of God, by the power of the Spirit of God, the Lord is knocking on the doors of your heart and he's saying, there are places in you that I want to set free. There are places in you that I want to heal in the presence of the Lord. If you would just surrender yourself with your will, surrender to his will and give up your life. If you would just give up your life, you will receive it. If you would just pour out everything you have, you will receive everything he has for you. So right now, we're going to worship for a moment. And if that's in your heart, if you need, you don't have to come down to the altar. If you want to, you can. Just in your seat right now, ask the Holy Spirit these things. Holy Spirit, which door in my heart do you want open? God, forgive me for not allowing myself to be transformed, because I am saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. But my soul needs healing. My soul needs changing. My soul needs delivering. My soul needs saving. I want to be activated in the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling the lost to you, reconciling dead things to you, reconciling the darkness with light inside of me. So if right now, just take a moment and press into the Holy Spirit and ask him. If you have to repent, repent. If you need forgiveness, ask forgiveness. If someone in this room needs to hear you say, will you forgive me? Now is the time to do it. Now is the time to do it. Don't hold back any longer. The Lord is coming back for a pure and spotless bride. It's time to iron out the wrinkles in Jesus' name.
This is Pastor Zach, and you've been listening to HPC Sermon Notes. Love you guys. God bless you, and have the best day of your life.